Good morning. We are back in our series here again with the seven churches in Revelation. And so we will be doing that today. And so it's good to see each one of you here today and knowing that sometimes on some Sundays it's like this side and the center side is all full and then the other sides and then this side and that's it. It's like, so we are changing. So, but it's not the, it's just like, when I look out, it's like, oh, it's good. People move, and I don't have to, you know, because your eyes have a tendency to go to the same places sometimes. Well, today we are going to be in the book of Revelation chapter 2 today in the Church of Pergamum, and we're going to work with this today. So a couple weeks ago, we started this series. It is a seven-week series taking one church each week. We did talk about Ephesus. It was the church that lost, basically, in common terms, they just fell out of love and they stopped loving Jesus. And then we've seen Smyrna, which is was one of those great commercial trade places, but they basically they were faithful under a lot of persecution. So they were the persecuted church yet stayed faithful. And so that is the two churches that we covered. And today we're working with Pergamum, and this is a great religious center. It is the is at peace, but this church today, we're going to talk about compromises their beliefs. And there's some reasons why it's happened. It's still no excuse, but there's some things that the Lord is going to share here in these scriptures today. But this is a city of false religions, a lot of them, okay, a lot of them. And I want to remind you that Jesus wrote these. These letters are written in red, so these are from the Lord himself. For the churches in that area, those areas to learn and grow and get themselves in order if they needed to. And the Lord is always encouraging them. So what we'll do is we're going to work through this morning and we're going to work through this and we're going to see where the Lord takes this piece here today. And we're going to try to grow through this. This is what we're doing this for, to grow as a church. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and we'll begin. Father, again, as we have assembled ourselves together on this day of worship, I thank you, Lord, for each one that is here. I pray, Father, you just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd have forth for us. For there's much more in here, Lord, than we're able even to work on today. But may you speak to us in a way that we need to hear from you specifically, but also that we might hear what we are learning in general. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time that you give to us. In Christ's name, amen. So we are working in this church today, Pergamum, trying to figure out what is going on here. I want to remind you, though, just kind of tell you that these churches, if you could have a car and you would look on a map and it's all like these are all in modern-day Turkey, you can drive them all to them in probably 2.5 hours. They're not that far apart. It's kind of unique, though, isn't it? Churches can be so close to each other but yet be so different. And even be different in the little communities and little cities that they were in, the bigger cities they were into, where they were planted. They also, the city has its own unique personality. And each church kind of has its own personality in some sense, too. There are several churches here in Huntington, and we're all different. And basically, what should bring us together is Jesus Christ himself and the Word of God. And even with that, though, we still have some differences in some doctrinal beliefs, and what is amazing to me is how some people, some guys, just talk to people about what their churches believe and how different that we are, but also how angry some people get when you don't agree with them or that you can't even have a conversation about the differences in doctrine. We should be able to work through those things and with the love of Christ and understand that we can agree to disagree at times and be able to walk away and still be brothers and sisters in Christ. But there are some things that are non-negotiable. But we're not going to talk about those per se today. But we are going to talk about this church here. Jesus is writing the letter. He says, "Write to the angel of the church of Pergamum. Thus says the one who has a sharp double-edged sword," in verse 12. This is what he says in Revelation 2:12. He says, "Write to the angel of the church in Pergamum." And he says, this is the one who says, a sharp double-edged sword. Basically, this means that this is the Word of God. Okay, this is coming to us as the Word of God. This is that double-edged sword. It is the truth. Jesus speaks truth. Jesus always speaks truth. Not that people always understand it, but Jesus does, and he is speaking God's word here. This church needs to hear this, and we're going to see what's going on with this church as Jesus continues on. He says in verse 13, I know where you live, where Satan's throne is, yet you are holding on to my name and did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death among you where Satan lives. Now we come to a place where we find out Jesus is going to commend this church for a couple of things. But the first thing he wants to say is, I know where you live. I know where your church is planted. I know where you live. Sometimes in church we think, man, is the Lord hearing our prayers? Does the Lord know where we're at? And people say, you don't know how hard the soil is where we planted our church. You don't know how hard it is to grow a church here. You don't know how hard it is to share the gospel and reach people in our community. Listen, the gospel is the story of Jesus penetrating into a dark world. Wherever you go, it's hard. Wherever you go, it's hard. But there are places where it is harder. There are places where it is hard. This community is hard. This community is hard. I'm going to tell you why it's hard. There's a lot of people that claim to be believers, but they're not. This community has a lot of people that believe northeastern Indiana is a lot like that. This community, however, is a little bit different than North. I've done a lot of research. Northern Indiana is a lot of rituals. We do a lot. There's a lot of ritual things that are being done, and think that the ceremonial things is what's going to make God happy. But here in Huntington, there's a lot of. So we're going to get to some things here, but here it is. Jesus says, "I know where you are." I know where you are. I know that Satan's throne is right there in the middle. There it is, right there. He says, where Satan's throne is. Satan has a lot of work going on here. Satan's invested a lot of time in this area. There's temples. You can go and you can look online. You can still see all these temples to all these gods and idols and all of them. And so they have all these gods and idols that they're doing and everything but Jesus. And there's this church in there that is trying to be a church of God. And we know that there's like Roma, they have Athena, temples to Zeus. They have all these temples and all these things. You just kind of go down like a menu at the restaurant. You pick what you want and you go there, and Satan doesn't care as long as you don't go to that place, which is a church that talks about Jesus. Satan doesn't care where you go as long as it doesn't lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus is saying, I know the circumstances that you're in. He knows the difficulty that church and where it's located. It's located in a cesspool. It is the religious capital of the whole area. This is where everybody would come and pray. And the temples to Caesar, they were worshiping anything and everything. They just loved to do that here. And so this is what's happening. So this church is under a lot of pressure. They don't look like everybody else. They don't have these large temples like everybody else where people are trying to pray to these different entities and these gods and little goddesses. No, they're lifting up the name of Jesus. And these people are worshiping idols and going into temples and doing all the things that they're doing. And also got to a point where at least there was one believer. We know at least it says there was at least one believer who was put to death for his beliefs. And it says where Satan lives. So this church, would you say that this church is in a tough area where people are walking down the street trying to figure they're going to go to this temple, they're going to go to that temple, they're going to go up on them, and they love to be up on the higher the temple is, the higher up on the mountain they would be, and they would go and do that. And here people are trying to share the story and the gospel of Jesus. And they're over here, they're having all kinds of sexual orgies and everything all up in these temples over here. They're butchering animals and doing all the things that they're doing over there, getting the blood all over them over there. They're they're sacrificing children and they're doing all that. They're doing all these demonic things, and you got a little church over here trying to be the light in such a dark place. And Jesus says, "I see it. I see exactly where you are. I know that Satan is there. I know that." You know, he uses Satan twice in this whole little section. He uses Satan twice in this one verse. If Jesus is saying he knows where Satan's throne is and he knows where he lives, it's kind of important. Jesus is talking about the darkness that is all around. And he says, so Jesus is commending them for their faithfulness. He's commending them for that they are not denying their faith in Jesus, regardless of all the pressure that's around them. So he's lifting them up, knowing the circumstances and the darkness of where this church is. He also lifts them up for being faithful, standing true, and standing strong in the name of Christ in that dark place of Pergamum. But you would think that would be like, yes, and it is. It's good stuff. But Jesus also says, now I got some words I got to tell you. I got to tell you something. I'm not very happy about it. Not very happy about it at all. So what does he say? He says in verse 14, "But I have a few things against you." Could you imagine Jesus coming up to you and say, "I have a couple things against you, bud"? What would he say? Let's see. He says, "I have a few things against you. You have some there that hold on to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to place a stumbling block in front of the Israelites, to eat meat, sacrifice to idols, and commit sexual immorality. In the same way, you also have those who hold on to the teachings of the Nicolaitans." Wow. So here we find out this church is struggling. It is a faithful church. Let's not take that away. It is faithful under pressure. It is faithful. It is still being a church. But something is happening. What is happening here? He's upset with them. He says, "I've got a few things that I have against you." And he talks about some things there. One of those things he's saying is this. Jesus has a disapproval. He's disappointed. So what has happened is some people has, this is where we have to grow. We have to grow. So he's got some members. So there are some members in this church that are teaching some things that are not biblical. Infiltrating into the church with some members who are teaching. The Bible says we shouldn't so eagerly seek teaching. We shouldn't desire to teach it so much because we do get judged harsher or harder. But he does say this. That Jesus says, "I see the people that are teaching unbiblical." So what is this church doing? They are compromising their beliefs. The outside, some of these people from the outside are coming in, and now they are teaching some of this other stuff, a little bit over here from this temple, a little bit over here from this temple. Hey, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, and mix it up into the church and what they believe. And this is kind of what's going on right now today. There's a little bit of some of this stuff in each one of these churches that's kind of going on at all times. But here we see some things here. They are teaching that it's okay to worship something else. Yeah, you can have Jesus, but you can put a little bit of something else into it. And so teaching fornication, sex outside of marriage, living together, that's okay. And so they're teaching this stuff. Listen, if you're doing those things or you're part of those things, if you don't feel conviction, I would doubt that you're saved. And I want to tell you, this church is a good church, but it's struggling. They've allowed teachers to come in and teach things that are unbiblical. Now, how do you know if something is unbiblical if you don't know the word yourself? That's what this church struggles with. We need to be better in the word. We need to be stronger in the word. I want to challenge you that if you go to church once a week, I want to challenge you to try to go too. I'm just saying, if you can give up 2 hours, if you can give up 2 hours a week, whether you go to life groups or Sunday school, whatever we will call them, life groups, early at 9:15, if you want to try that, that would be great. And do what Sunday morning worship, that would be great. You do Sunday morning worship, try to do Wednesday night. I'll tell you this, I promise you this. If you can do that for 6 weeks, you come to me and tell me, and we'll have a conversation. You started, and I'm going to ask you this. Did you grow? Did you learn more about Jesus giving up one more week, one more hour a week than you did when you just came normally? Listen, the church isn't growing because we're not growing. The city's not growing because we are not growing. And I'm not talking about people-wise. I'm talking about spiritually. This city is struggling. And our nation is struggling. We're allowing things to come in. And here it is. This is what I love the songs we sing. I think Ashley picks out some pretty good songs. Y'all love those songs? I like those songs. But I want to tell you, here's the thing. We need to know what those songs mean. We need to know what God's word means. But here's the thing. When you guys worship, this church can worship. I believe this church still needs to, I believe this church is still at a place where it's going to worship, can get to a place of really worshiping. Side note, in the book of Luke chapter 7, there's a woman who sits there. She's an adulterous woman. She's anointing Jesus for burial and all this. And people want to say some things about her or whatever. And here it is. It's just paraphrasing. Jesus says, listen, she loves much because she's been forgiven much. And that's exactly the way we are. We talk about, there's a part there that we do that. So many people here have lived some very sinful lives because Jesus said that woman had a lot of sin, a lot of sins in her life. So when she was forgiven much, she loved much. But let me tell you, if you don't grow from that, that's the problem with a church like ours. You have to grow from that spot. If you don't grow from that spot, you allow people to speak into your lives that unbiblical things, but you're still claiming to Jesus and His love, and we should, but you never grow more than about 3 or 4 inches thick in your spiritual walk and your spiritual knowledge. We got to grow in our biblical knowledge. These guys were hanging in there, working what they needed to, but they couldn't continue to grow much because if they would have, caught the things that were sneaking into by these teachers. And these teachers were adding things that didn't and weren't supposed to be there. So when we just work and hang on to our salvation and don't grow up in our salvation, we find ourselves 3 or 4 inches deep. That's it. So we're very shallow. We're still hanging on. All we want to do, I'm just saying, all we want to do, many people want to do, is worship and music, but they don't know how to worship anywhere else. They want to worship only. People say, well, I love being a Christian. I love the worship music. There's a place for that. But I don't want to read my Bible. Let me tell you, the Bible is the most awesome book in the world. It's the truth and salvation, but just looking at it as a book, it is an awesome book. You want love stories? Go to the Bible. You'll see a love story going on, but you'll see the whole love story from the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation. That is a full love story in itself. You like knights and armors, and you like battles, and you like those adventurous. You go in there and you can see it through 1 Samuel all the way to Chronicles and Kings and all those places, and you'll just see those battles going on. You like to see all those things about forgiveness and all that, and families and all that. It's all in there. But people don't know it. They won't read it. I'm stuck. I'm spiritually stuck. I'm spiritually dragging. Yeah, you're spiritually dragging. Okay. A spiritual person who is working out their salvation knows this. I may be spiritually not doing great today, but I know that I need to read the Word of God. A person who's not spiritually strong will turn around and say, I'm spiritually weak, and walk around, try to hear music to get them going on, try to hear a worship song to get them going on, try to do everything else, but go to the Word of God. But the Word of God never comes back void. It never comes back. You read it and you will get something out of it. We don't know that. We know the stories of David and Goliath. We know some of the main stories, but we struggle with certain books because we are afraid to read them. We struggle with certain things because we just expect the pastor to show me or teach me. I challenge you to try to do a next 1 hour. Whatever hour you're doing, add an hour to it. And I promise you, you'll grow. Because I know some of you have already messed around with tarot cards and psych readings and stuff like that. I know. That has no place in the believers. That has no place in the believer's life. No place in the believer's life. No place in the believer's life. No place in the believer's life at all. What you're seeking is seeking something that you're the feeling that God's not going to give you or give you the answer the way that you want it to be, or you're just out there just adventuring off into areas. And I'm telling you, Satan will take you hook, line, and sinker, and he will put you in a chokehold that you can't get out of. And that's what's happening with this church. Jesus sees it, and he says there are people there that are teaching unbiblical things. They're teaching sinful things, and they're into this church, and they are teaching these things. This is why I'm very cautious of who we allow to teach in the church. Very cautious. So if you're a teacher in the church, I'm telling you, think of it as a gift. Because as a teacher, I expect you to know what you're talking about. I expect you to know things, what the word, God's word is. And when somebody brings something in, it should hit you an alarm. No, that's not right. That's not biblical. But he also says in the same way in verse 15, you also have those who hold on to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Here it is a group that we just don't know a whole lot about. The Bible doesn't give us a lot about, but it was also in the book of the letter to the church of Ephesus, where Jesus says, you have this also going for you. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, and I also hate what they do. So we see that God, Jesus even hated what they were doing over there. Ephesus was strong, even though they were out of love with Jesus. They were still not in the green, and they did not do anything with the Nicolaitans. They hated that. They weren't going to put up with it, and they weren't going to tolerate it. This church, even though they're faithful and they love Jesus, they are still allowing the Nicolaitans to come in, and they're teaching some things in that church. So it can be a godly, beautiful church allowing bad things to happen. And even in a church that doesn't maybe love the Lord in the way they should, they might be even harder in areas to say, no, we don't allow those things to happen. So we all have this personality and these characters in the church, and the only one that can judge them truthfully is Jesus Christ. But we also can make it better for us if we know the Word of God. If we know the Word of God, that keeps us on the straight and narrow. But the world wants to influence. So we need to be careful how the world is influencing us in our personal lives. Because what influences us will bring into the church. And here it is today, we're so afraid to tell somebody, no, you shouldn't be doing that. We don't want to say that anymore. We don't want to say that anymore because that comes out harsh. That comes out brash. We are trying to get more people, and we're trying to raise and grow our church. And how can you grow a church when you say, no, that is wrong? Now, there is a way to say, no, that is wrong. There's a way to say, no, you shouldn't really be doing that. We need to do it in love. But I will tell you, some people will take it, and it doesn't matter how you say it, but it is conviction, and it is, seems to be harsh. And sometimes we need to figure out how to say it in the right way, because here it is also is we also have a hard time saying things because we are harder on others than we are our own selves. So we have to really work it out. So that's why Scripture says take that log out of your eye before you take that splinter out of someone else's eye. So you got to really be in tune with the Holy Spirit. You got to really be in tune. But sometimes you have to say, no, there's been some people in this church I've been able to say, listen, you're done. You're done. You're done. We don't teach that here. Get all those papers you passed out. We're not teaching that. There's been a handful here. Not going to put up with it. Not going to. Don't tell me that you think you know the Bible if you're not reading the Bible. And don't tell me you think you know it, because you know what? I know. I claim this, man, there's so much. I just want to say it. Somebody said, you know the Bible? I always say this. There's so much to learn, and I'm still learning. Because I met some people who said, I know the Bible. I know what it means. Know a lot of it. No, I know it. prideful people, I just want to walk away from. Arrogant. Listen, there's so much in the Bible that you can't understand it without the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit to lead us. And there's much study in it. And people still today, even theologians, dig in it. And they keep digging in it. And they keep digging in it. Because, we're talking about a perfect word. We're talking about the words of God. We're talking about the words of Jesus Christ. We're talking about a history of the world. That's a lot to take in and try to bring it into my little mind and say, I got it all figured out. Wow. And we have people running around teaching things that are ungodly, that are unbiblical. And we have to be good stewards. We have to watch over the flock. And we have to be careful that wolves aren't coming in sheep's clothing, trying to tear up the church. So Pergamum was right in the middle of this. Right, this church was right in the middle with all these temples and all these things, all this demonic and stuff that were going on. And they were trying to be the church. And you would think, the Lord is going to baby them. And he tells them some good things, but he also says, listen, what he's really saying is this. You're allowing the world to influence you instead of you influencing the world. And you're doing it by allowing your teachers that you're letting teach things that are not biblical. They're teaching and bringing in practices and things from these religions that were all around. And I'm going to tell you, you bring in one piece. We allow a teacher in here to teach one thing, to say, let's just pick one. Jesus sinned. Let's pick that one. Jesus sinned. Man, if we allowed that to come in, that would change the whole dynamics of this church. Because we believe that Jesus didn't sin. Yeah? And then we can even say some other things. But then what happens is if it comes in soft and easy, then it's one more and it's another one. And it just, next thing you don't even look like a church anymore. You're going other things. And then I'll tell you where it really hits. It hits right here, right behind the pulpit. Right here. No longer is the guy coming up here and going, okay, I've got to preach the word of God today, praying off to the corner, to the side, Lord, give me words to speak. It's like, okay, I've got to work with these people. How many we got today? What are we going to? I'm looking at them. I'm feeling them. This is what we're going to do. We're going to come in here. I'm preaching for 5-10 minutes. Man, I haven't got an uproar yet. I got to get something going on. So does whatever they got to do to get it up an uproar. And next thing you know, they're bringing in. And next thing you know, week after week, they're like, man, I got to make up a story. I can't keep my people. I can't keep the numbers coming up. I can't keep the crowd here. And then bringing in some things. And then basically, it's not even about the Word of God. It's about you. You need to have a better life. You really have all of it inside of you. You just got to get it out. Yeah, God really wants you to be dynamic. You really got it in you. You can pull it out of yourself. You got it, and it all becomes psychological. It all becomes about how awesome that you are. It comes all about that God's going to give you an amazing life here, and it's all yours. All you got to do is find a way to grab it. And by the way, you give and you shall receive. Give, 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 give. Takes one belief that's unbiblical, allow it to go into teaching, and it will change the whole character and dynamics of the church. So this is what he says in verse 16. So repent. Repent. What is Jesus really saying? Repent. You got church members there. He says, repent. I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So he said, I'm going to come. I'm going to fight with the word of God, which is truth. Who am I going after? I'm going after those people, your believers, or your church members who are teaching. And they need to confess that sin. If not, I'm coming after them and I'm going to deal with them. Now, let me just take a step back for a minute. If you're wrestling with some scripture and you work through that and you're working through it, God's not upset. You wrestle with some scripture. There's some scriptures that are really tough to understand. You go to the book of Ezekiel, there's some really tough prophecy to try to figure out and understand. And there's some tough things even in Genesis that can be tough, especially in the beginning chapters. There's some tough things in Revelation. Even in Daniel, there's some tough things. Or even in Jeremiah, there's a few tough things in there. The book of Romans is tough. It's a lifelong adventure, lifelong learning. You got to keep learning all the time. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about because you don't know something. He's talking about those who are teaching something that is unbiblical, which would be teaching against the teachings of God. He says, I'm going to come to them, and I'm going to come to them. I'm going to come quickly too. I'm coming, and I'm going to fight against them with the truth. But he says, repent, gives them an opportunity. Don't we love that God gives us an opportunity? And let's go up to the very beginning, first verse. Write to the angel of the church of Pergamum. Now, many of them believe, most theologians believe that word is messenger and is pastor. If he's speaking to the pastor, what is he saying? He's warning the pastor they need to repent or otherwise, I'm coming, bud, I'm coming. And I'm going to fight against them. No pastor wants to fight in their church. And if Jesus is coming, he's going to fight against them. He wants them out. They need to repent or he's going to deal with it. Okay? It's easier to repent if you do it. It's a lot easier to repent than stand before the Lord and try to fight him because they will not win. And no, you don't want to get into a fight with Jesus at all because it's automatic, you lose. You're done. But he says, I will come and I'm quickly and I'm gonna fight against them. Basically, Jesus said, I'm coming and I'm gonna clean house. But he's given this church an opportunity to fix it. And then verse 17 he says, let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name is inscribed that no one knows except the one who receives it. Here it is. Jesus is encouraging. This is this alert for dull ears again. Listen, listen. You know, some of us need to learn how to listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. How do I know when God's talking to me? I hear that all the time. How do I know when the Lord's speaking to me? How do I know when the Holy Spirit is telling me yes or no? Listen, that's why you have to be a good listener. You see, when we keep talking, we can't listen. We have to listen. Take a moment. Take a walk with the Lord. So do whatever it is. Keep working it out. Keep praying, but be sensitive. But he says, let anyone who has ears needs to hear this. They need to hear this. He says, to the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. So we know that the manna was given to the Hebrews in the book of Exodus. We know that. And there's some hidden manna there. Some of the stuff we don't really all understand. There's all kinds of different ways we can try to figure that out. We know that we're going to have a great meal together in heaven when it's all said and done here. But also give him a white stone on his stone with a new name on it, which is inscribed, and no one knows that one who receives it. Many people believe that is the new name for Jesus. We see it there also in that in Revelation. We see also the idea that, hey, the Lord gives you a new name. Also, we see other things of that sort. But here it is. This is what I know. With all the different ideas and things, it's all good. Whatever Jesus has here is good stuff. It is just good stuff. It is just good stuff. There's three or four explanations for each one of these. And if I was to pick one and choose one, then, you know, we're going to let Jesus work that out. That's what he's doing. That's what he says. But basically, he's saying, I'm going to give you guys something. If you can get this together, what he's saying, fix your heart. I'm going to reward you for it if you do. But if not, I'm coming, man. I'm coming, and I'm going to clean it. Because why? This is because the churches belong to Jesus. The pews you sit in belong to him, and it's the work of God. Listen, we know this, that the church is the body. Is the body of Christ. It is, but we need to remember that he also established that we have back then it was synagogues. We call them churches today. Let me remind you when on those Sabbaths, where was Jesus at? He was in synagogue. David said, oh, how I long to be in the sanctuary to worship. He was running away from Saul. When you are a believer in Christ, your heart desires to be in the house of God. It desires to be there because you know it's a magnet. God, Christ is pulling you towards Him, and He's coming toward you. And that's where we meet together in the house. We call it the house of God. And He has a whole letter here for this church. And He has a letter for each one because all these people that come there, they make up that church body. He says, there's a problem with you. I love what you do. You have great faith. You are in a mess. You are in a place of hard circumstances. There's demonic work all around you. But I still got something to tell you. You're holding on. You're allowing the world to come in and teach unbiblical things, demonic things, pushing them into young believers, older believers. And next thing you know, they're going to grab onto it. And Jesus says, listen, you need to repent. And if you don't, I'm coming with the word. I'm coming with the word, a double-edged sword, and I'm taking care of business. I'm going to take care of them. If you repent, I have some gifts I want to give to you. What an amazing God that we serve. What an amazing God that we serve. I can tell you, being a pastor here since it started for 22 years now, I think, Scott, 22 years, I can tell you the highs and lows of this church. I can tell you the spiritual problems of this church. I can tell you the amazing things of this church. But if I would just say that this church is one thing this church needs to do, two things. Number one is truthfully this. We need to fall in love with Jesus and not in love with ministry. We need to get off the step one of salvation. We need to step up into maturity in our walk with the Lord. We need to get more mature as a believer, and we need to fall more in love with Jesus and not so much who we are, what we are, and what we're doing. And I'm going to remind you, if you're messing around with those other things of the world, you need to stop. I'm saying it from the pulpit, you need to stop. A pastor friend of mine now is leaving this area. I'm not going to get into all the things that are going on. And we talked about it. And he said, listen to me. This is a hard place. This is what he said. He said, I went off and had started a church. And they had got up to 600 people in another state. I went off to another state and did pretty well over there. Great over there. This is my home. This is my home. My home. This is my home. So I went to school. He said, this is the hardest place. Even in my own place, it was hard. And I know the people. It's hard. It's hard. Many of you remember our associate pastor, Randy Du Bois. He can share plenty of stories, just like I can share plenty of stories about the demonic that goes on in this community. And let me tell you, when I talk about it in the community, you know where it is? It's on First Street. It's on Market Street. It's just down the street. It's right around the corner. The old church across the street we didn't have that, and we have it now. And you go in the basement, there's a pentagram. Somebody painted it on there. There's a pentagram upstairs in one of the Sunday school rooms next to the cross that someone else painted. Randy Du Bois told me, he said, Jimmy, you wouldn't believe what I just saw. We met here at the office. He said, I saw two teenage girls walking down the street right over here. Walking down the street, and they had these little things on their little head. He said, I said, what? He said, man, I know it's weird. I'm a 50-year-old white male, but I had to stop these girls. I said, what are you guys got on your heads? Oh, this, basically, these are witch. These are our witch, signia. They had little horns on them. And they said, each color represents a different level. How deep you're into it, what level that you're at. Has all kinds of stories I can share. Listen, if you think that stuff is out of here, it's not. It's probably more apt. Some of you are hanging on to it. And folks, you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, I know three or four people right here in this church. I'm not going to allow it to be preached. I'm not going to allow it to be taught, preached, or anything like that. But I pray against that stuff. That the individuals will get out of that stuff. It's very strong here. If you've dealt with it, you need to be done. You need to make sure you're done with it. How do you do that? Well, Jesus says you need to repent. Scripture tells us that there was a time when the church, a city got together and threw all their witchcraft books and all that stuff, and it was a lot. They piled it up and burned it. Listen, you're not going to get rid of it in the world, but you need to get rid of it in your own life. Do not think that you've arrived in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think if you have arrived, you're getting set up for a big downfall. You need to cling to Jesus. This is why our pulpit, this is why our sanctuary needs to be full. Not with new people. It's great to get new people. I'm talking about the people that claim to be members here, people that are part of this. This is why we struggle. Our church should be, actually, we should be pulling like 120 a week. But our people come, I just want to come this Sunday. I don't feel like going this next Sunday. I'm just not going to go next Sunday. I'm not going to go for two more Sundays. And let me tell you, if I put out a survey like I did that one year, and I passed out that survey and it had like maybe 15 questions about the Bible, you know what some of the answers came back? We were spiritually illiterate. Because you can't learn about God's Word if you're not part of what God's doing. You can't do it. This is why you can read this. You can read this when you can read this from time to time. You can read it, but you just might get some history knowledge. But if you're not walking with the Lord and you have a desire to learn, the Holy Spirit's not going to reveal to you its truth. I don't know if this is a struggle we're going to struggle with for years to come. I pray it's not. I pray that we start growing in our walk with the Lord, and I pray that we grow stronger. We're struggling. Because people won't let go of things from other people's what they've done. We won't let go of those things. We don't forgive very well. Some of us hold grudges like no other. You've got to let some of that stuff go. Every one of these seven churches, Jesus says this in the end. Repent. Except there was one. But repent. 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 Now, for you biblical people, there may be two. Maybe God says, hey, maybe the Holy Spirit's revealing to you today, it's time to start growing. Maybe for you to start to growing in your biblical knowledge. Maybe some of us, you just start growing on how you look at other people and quit judging other people so hard. But you need to look in the mirror first. Others may be to the point where you need to say, Lord, I need to love you again. Maybe some of us need to get with the Lord and say, Lord, I've been hiding this from you, and I know you've seen it, and I have messed around with these psychics and these false prophetesses and prophets and all this stuff. Whatever it is, the only way you're going to be happy is to repent and get right with the Lord. And maybe you've heard some things today. You're like, man, I just want to check out who Jesus is, and I don't even know who he is. I'm telling you, he loves you so much. He is God. He could have trashed every one of these churches if he wanted to, the ones that were doing bad things. But no, he loves them so much that he gave them. He told them what they were doing wrong. He told them what they were doing good, told them what they were doing wrong, and how to fix it. And you get your life fixed by repenting and coming to Christ. The letter was to the church of Pergamum, and that letter today is still influencing us today. And I pray it influences you as well. Father, as we stand and we get to this place in our life, in our time of worship right now, I pray, Father, your will be done in each one of our lives, that we may be the individual that you call us to be, that we would grow in whatever area that we need to grow, repent in whatever we need to repent, but whatever it is today, may your will be done. In Christ's name, amen.